Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It's 6 p.m. and time for the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio with Jack Jodell and myself, Gwen Berry, and Wayne Johnson will be calling in later, are your hosts for the Sunday show. And we're progressive roundtable talkers and just doing the week in review with occasional guests. And tonight with me is Jack. Hi, Jack. Oops.
This past week that we didn't expect, but we're battling through it, and it's going to melt, and we're going to be on fresh green grass here pretty soon, I hope. Been a long, cold winter.
That'll be nice, yes. And the winters are getting longer and colder.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of challenges with that, a lot.
Yeah. And a lot of it is caused by humans, you know, human activity.
Well, we're in the midst of climate change.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, it is affecting the whole solar system, but, you know.
It's also about us just being able to clean our environment, get our ducks in a row as far as the good health of the planet, the atmosphere, the soil, the water.
Yeah.
What a challenge ahead. And
I'm glad we have seen a big rise in environmental factors, the people concerned with the environment and taking steps to clean up the mess we've caused, because there's been a massive amount of pollution and needless pollution and greed-based pollution. And, you know, we've started to see the change in our climate as a result of it, and it's not healthy. It's actually... It's detrimental to life and to the preservation of life on this planet, and we've got to do something about it. This planet is loaned to us while we're here alive, but it's not ours to keep and do it whatever we damn well please with it. We've got to deal with it responsibly and not make it worse and make it polluted and rivers tarnished and atmosphere unbreathable and all that stuff. We got to do a better job. We're starting to do it, but we've got to really make a massive push to make sure since
Trump's been in office, there's been backsliding.
Oh yeah, he just signed a new thing, a new gas lease thing or some crazy shit this past week, which is typical. You know, the guy is getting so obnoxious. You almost want to turn off the TV when the son of a bitch comes on, because everything he says is a lie and it's all bullshit.
Yeah, I don't listen to him anymore because having him in my ear is tantamount of blood pressure rise.
Oh, exactly. Yes, it's bad for our health. Listening to Trump will kill you. That's the truth.
He's bad for the health of the country, and he's bad for the health of the world, and people know it. But in this country, there is a blanket of depression. It's the old fear and loathing, you know. Use that as the bright spark, at least, to turn people away from the issues that matter.
And always find somebody to castigate and point the finger at and make them carry the blame for what your own inadequacies are. That's the way he operates. That guy is absolutely disgusting. If he was my child, I would spank his ass so bad he'd never be able to sit again. He'd have blisters the rest of his life on his buttocks. That's the way it would be. And I'm not a corporal punishment kind of guy, but in his case, I'd gladly make an exception.
Well, it was, you know, it's not about spare the rod, spoil the child, although my mother would probably say a little bit of rod has got to be necessary now and then. I know that she thought about it occasionally, but the point is that I think we reflect who we love and who loves us and nurtures us. I'm about nurture versus nature. And I know that many of the ideals and values and morals that I cherish and hold dear and stand for are the ones that I learned, you know, from my family and my home. And
Well, you know, Gwen, we date back to the we generation, which is almost non-existent now. Reagan turned it into the me generation and made people get very selfish and self-centered. And we are just showing, barely showing signs of emerging from that horrible spell that he cast on us. And so I proudly consider myself a member of the we generation, and I'm looking on behalf of other people rather than just my own self-interest and my own greed. You know, it's just pathetic how greedy we've become.
Well, I got to say, too, I want to wish my nephew, George, a very happy birthday. I was shocked to learn that he's 28 years old today. Oh, my God.
Well, happy birthday, George.
And I am so very proud of him. Now, a lot of my friends would say when my nephew was around with his mother, with Debbie, why is he so well behaved? Why is he such a good little boy? You know, and it's like, well, because she's raising him that way, the way she was raised. But
now, is he the one that was so involved with football, or is that another nephew?
Yes.
That's
absolutely
the one. Okay, great.
Yeah, he could have gone to Europe and played on a football team over there.
Oh, interesting.
And made money. But you know what he did? He became a first responder.
Oh, good for him.
He's in his second year, I believe, as a firefighter and first responder in West Palm Beach, Florida. I'm so
proud.
Well,
let's hope that he never endangers his own health in the process of saving others. Let's hope that he stays clear of deathly situations, you know.
Well, they go through a lot of training, and he does do a lot of. It's not an easy job. It's not for everybody.
Oh, no.
It's a very few that can really be first responders. He's also from his mother's side. He has a bit of what I guess Stephen King calls it, the shine. But he knows how to triage. You know why? Because he can tell when somebody's leaving the body. He sees.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And he knows to go, okay, let me get to this one because this is who's going to live best with my ability.
Help.
And it really has bumped him up into triaging as a first responder. But the thing is that kids today, I mean, look at you've got millions of kids in this country who took new heroes unto them after Parkland.
Uh-huh.
In this next election, we are going to have millions of new young voters out there voting. I don't think the Republicans are quite seeing the forest for the trees.
No. They haven't been for years on many things, especially on guns. They view it as a freedom issue. And, you know, in a certain narrow sense of the word, it is freedom, the freedom to own a gun, to not be victimized by an oppressive state. But they're so paranoid about that they're losing track of reality. And the reality is that guns are rampant. They're killing people needlessly. They're too easy to get. We've got to have some kind of regulation or some kind of control. We don't have to take them all away, but we've got to restrict their use to people that deserve them.
Well, you know, hunting and fishing and all of that, I see. But, you know, you're right. You know, we lose over 10,000 people a year in this country to gun violence. I just read a story about a little boy who was playing with his father's loaded gun and killed his little sister, a little beautiful little girl.
Oh, my
now,
God. And that happens.
Now, a lot.
That's
it happens
terrible.
A lot. It happened right here in Florida again. And ignorant people that enjoy the drama of fear and loathing, those tiny bits that the Republicans have become so used to using to herd people in mass mentality and to fear and fear of the other.
And let's not forget the criminal element. They're out there, too, and they love guns, and they use them religiously all the time to get what they want, to rob that bank, to hold up that person on the street, to steal their wallet, whatever, you know?
You know, serious it's out of pocket, as they say. You know, though, really wonderful thing happened this afternoon. Mm. And you and I were talking about it just before we came on the air. And, you know, hey, Jack, do you ever think you'd live to see the day when the youngest guy to ever toss his hat in the ring would be intelligent, caring, thoughtful, and openly gay?
And openly gay, I know. Well, you know, people aren't looking at years ago, you know, 10 years ago even, that would have been absolutely taboo, the idea of a gay president. Would have just, some people would have just reacted in absolute horror and immediately turned off the TV or you know, voted against that guy or campaigned against him. But people are getting a lot more open-minded about it, and they realize that it's not a threatening issue. It's a personal choice, just like many other things are personal choices that they love to, the conservatives love to legislate against, you know.
But
at any rate, I don't see it as a big issue.
But Jack, you say 10 years ago people would have scoffed it. But, you know, Jack, 10 years ago America voted for the first black president.
I know. That's amazing. Yeah.
Isn't it? I never thought I'd see that. I mean, I never thought I'd see Mandela.
Well,
it's
because Bush had been so unpopular for so long, and Cheney was absolutely pathetic, and McCain, he ran against McCain and beat him, and Sarah Palin was so offensive and such a hoity-toity, what a phony, you know, and you never hear her name anymore, but boy, she dominated the headlines for a long time, and you know, it's too bad, because John McCain is gone now, and he wouldn't have been the worst president in the world, but I voted against him, obviously, but he was an enlightened conservative, and I like those kind. Those people you can deal with and talk to, and he, you know, I wouldn't agree with his philosophy or his politics, but at any rate, I respect the man. He's gone now, and our current president, who claims to be a conservative, absolutely detests the guy because he gets more headlines than he does when they talk about him. So it's... we've really gone down the tubes in terms of morality.
I got to tell you, I think Meghan McCain hit the nail on the head with that one. She said, you know why he hates my father? He hates my father because my father is a great man. And
right.
He will never, ever, ever be a great anything but a
great
failure.
Right. Yeah, he was handed everything in his whole life. And they said that about the Kennedys, too. But you know what? The Kennedys were devoted to public service, and they made their mark. Trump has not only made his mark for himself, for his own pocketbook, for his own family. That's all he cares about. And he does not care about the country at all. And how that son of a bitch ever got elected, it was narrow. Let's not forget that. And it was because of the Electoral College. Maybe we need to get rid of that. So because if it leads to another Trump, it means it's got to go.
Well, there's like three more states this week that have the state legislature has got bills in them to
get rid of it.
Take Trump off the ballot too.
Yeah. I love that. That's fine with me.
You know, if they can do that, that means that everybody who goes in to vote will have to write him in. And most people who would vote for Trump are dumb enough not to know that.
Right. Exactly. And you know, I don't believe that movement will succeed, because it'll run into nothing but opposition among the moneyed people, among the billionaires, and among the people that support Republicans primarily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of opposition. They'll have legal challenges and everything else, and it'll be a mess. So I don't expect that to succeed, although I'd love to see that guy completely eliminated from the ballot and go totally right in, because then you get beat in a landslide. You might get beat in a landslide anyway, but, you know,
well,
whatever.
Well, I'll tell you, Jack, I really do think that even Daffy Duck could beat him at this point. But,
well,
you
he's
know.
So pathetic, yeah.
No, I think people have come to a point. We hear all this stuff on the media about polls and crap like that. You know, you just said that we were talking in this. There's just all these Democrat candidates, and people are popular one moment, not the next. Well, you know, the thing is, I've gotten pretty quick at seeing when people are just mouthing.
Oh, yeah.
Mouth-piecing issues, like even among the Democrats. A friend of mine said you should turn on MSNBC right now because Cory Booker's on talking and he's for everything, you know. And I'm like, he's, you know, when he
I saw his address and it was good, but there was nothing new or original about it. I could deal with a Cory Booker presidency, but he wouldn't be my first choice by any stretch.
He's taking money from Big Pharma. He's taking money
like
from
the Kushners. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's in bed with that stuff.
That's terrible.
As a Newark mayor, he really did some wonderful things. But in climbing into the Senate seat, he's been offered the opportunity to make a great deal of cash. And that's what he's done. And, you know, it's like, and now when he comes out, if he doesn't have, you know, it's like Tracy said, go over and take a look at him because she said he does teleprompting well. And I said, well, he has to.
Well, yeah, if you're going to be any kind of candidate, Trump's the only modern candidate that can't use a teleprompter. He has a hell of a time with it because he's so dumb.
If you took a look at Buttigieg today.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was not actually using a teleprompter. He had
he's bright, and he has good retention he knows what he's talking about.
That he glanced at. Another one who's like that is, there's another good one out there who does that very well.
Kamala Harris is pretty bright. She speaks from the heart and from the brain. And I don't think she is a big teleprompter person.
No, she uses one, but she speaks mainly from her heart. Elizabeth Warren has been, too.
Oh, yeah, And they know how to use it.
Yes, they do know how to use it. The other thing is that, what did I see today? I think we've got like, is it 27 or 28 people that are vying for getting on the Democratic primary?
Democratic ticket, yeah. You know, like I was telling you just before we went on, the Democratic field is way too big. And, you know, it's getting to the point where this is carrying it to an extreme, but it's going to be to the point almost where almost every single congressional Democrat's going to declare for the presidency. And, you know, that's too much. These guys have got to work together. I can't wait for the debates to start because that'll weed out some of them. And, you know, they've got to stand behind one person to beat Trump. That's the whole game. They got to beat Trump.
I don't think there's going to be a problem with that, Jack. And the debates are going to be weeding them all out anyways because you have to have a certain amount of money, Rose, to actually compete in the debates. And the debates are where people make up their minds. So a lot of people fall by the wayside then. Like Booker and a few others, they have the money they need already in their campaigns because it's been put there by, and by the way, the only candidate I will vote for, they must not be taking any PAC money. They must not be taking any financial encouragement from big industry at all.
Yeah.
Bernie doesn't, I guess. Warren doesn't. I don't know about Buttigieg, but I would think he doesn't. Beto,
I don't think so. No,
he does. He doesn't. Kamala Harris, I don't believe is. If she is,
yeah, I think you're right.
Become a problem for her, especially in the debates.
Well, I don't believe she's relying on big PAC donations to fund her campaign. She's doing quite well on her own. So we'll just have to see. It's still too early. It's still way too pregnant with possibility, and we've got to weed out some of these guys. The debates will be great for that.
Yeah, it's those debates are that. But there are people I would like to see make it to the debate table.
Oh, yeah.
just so that they put their issues into the conversation. Like, I'd really love to see Marianne Williamson make it to the debates, because I believe she'll bring up issues people are ignoring.
Yeah, but does she have the financial wherewithal to get there? You got to have a certain amount of financial backing in many states, you know.
You have to have, well, for the network debates, you have to have 65,000
donors.
Donors, that's it. And she's got like 50 or 51, but all she
there's a ways to go yet, but
yeah, and I would really like to see her make it there, just because the issues that she talks about are important to me too. And I think she's what you call a conversation changer, and she lifts your consciousness, because she opens up the core of many of the issues we're facing by putting it in terms of our moral compass.
Now, she's from Florida, right?
No, Marianne Williamson's from California.
From California. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Okay. Yeah.
She was from Florida.
No, she's a self-help guru, they say. But actually, she's an author, a presenter, and a teacher. And she wrote a fabulous book that the Catholic Church even uses, called A Course in Miracles.
Oh, okay.
And she's saying, you know, as I believe too, she is saying that, you know, we absolutely have to take a hold of this situation, because the moral values and compass of the United has gone into the ditch in a bad way. And
greed has replaced our sense of morality in this country to a large extent, and that is not a healthy situation at all.
No
society can survive on pure greed. It's just, you know, greed can be used creatively to get people to act and to do certain things, but it's not unlawful, but it's kind of not illegal. It's kind of an unsavory way to go about getting support for anything, really, to appeal to people's greed.
Well, it's been working.
It's
been working, because survival, financial survival in this country has become such an issue. And she talks about the immorality of that. And,
I'm with her on that.
She does. That's the only I am actually doing a little bit of help and working out where I can for Warren. But if Warren doesn't make the primary, then
I can't imagine her not making the primary.
No, I mean winning it. If she doesn't win it,
not
the candidate, I will, of course. There's only one exception to my rule, and I tell you, out of loyalty, I know I will check off the Democratic candidate, but if it's Bernie Sanders, I'm going to stand there and look at it for a long time.
Well, we don't need some corporate Democrat out there, you know, and that's where Cory Booker has a liability, and he's not the only one, but we don't need any more corporate Democrats. They're Republican light is what they are.
Well, yeah, that's what I feel. And I made the comment today, my sister is totally for Buttigieg. And already, like, I'm already with Warren. She's already on board with him.
Mm-hmm. He's a bright choice so far.
Yeah, he is. As a matter of fact, if Warren won the primary, I think it'd be nirvana if she chose him as a running mate.
Would be something. But, you know, it's still too early to tell, but he's bright enough. He might be gaffe-proof. And I don't know that Joe Biden is gaffe-proof. Yeah. He still leads the pack, they say, but we'll see, you know.
Oh, I don't think Biden has a chance in hell.
Think he does either, but they say he still leads the pack. But that's just name recognition nonsense, you know.
Well, and that's just that bullshit polling crap. And I how many times do we have to go through this where, you know, you have to keep saying, the polls are crap. And the only time that there's only one time that they've been true, and that was in Obama's second run.
You know, if you asked the amount of people that say that they know Biden and they'd vote for Biden and they prefer Biden, if you ask them what you believe his plank would be, hardly anybody could answer that. Nobody could answer correctly as to what he believes in. He hasn't even declared yet, but he's expected to.
I actually don't know anyone who would vote for Biden. Nobody dislikes him. And most of the women I know are very troubled by the
Anita Hill stuff, yeah.
No, they're very troubled by, we don't forget that stuff ever.
Right,
but,
exactly, with good reason.
Very troubled by what Flores did, how she came out against Joe Biden for being who he is and being very demonstrative.
Yeah.
Listen, this guy has seen tragedy.
Exactly.
Have. But he has seen he lost his family. He's gone through real tragic circumstances. And
exactly.
He's pressed on.
His wife was killed in an auto crash. For God's sakes, you know.
And a child, too.
That's a heartless way. And his son died, yeah. A brain cancer.
Oh, well, his son, yeah. But his wife and a child were gone in that
accident. And a child, too, yeah. My God, yeah. What a tragedy.
And here's the other thing. Joe Biden he's on the cusp. You know, his heart is open. He really genuinely wishes people well. He really genuinely cares.
He does.
And he's a good Catholic boy. He's demonstrative. He walks up, he gets introduced to you, he talks to you for 20 minutes, and he puts his arm around you and gives you a squeeze and says, go, girl.
That's not predatory behavior. It's just his way.
No,
we've got to be a little more. We've discussed this in a past show. We've got to be a little more open-minded and tolerant of this stuff because it doesn't indicate he's a predator or a sexual harasser or anything like that.
And I know every woman I know, and I know a lot of them who give him shit about Anita Hill would never vote for him, are real mad about this. They're mad that Joe Biden is being tagged like this.
Yeah,
you know,
it was that Flores was a very irresponsible move on her part, and I don't know who she's supporting. I haven't heard, but I don't care. She's an error. She's bad to bring it up in the first place. It's immaterial, really, as far as I'm concerned.
It was oppo, and in the court of public opinion, she's lost that gig.
Deservedly.
The majority of people are just they're not buying
aghast.
It.
Yep.
Yeah, they're just not buying it. Not from a gentleman like Joe.
No, exactly.
Biden.
Yeah.
They call him Honey Joe for a reason.
And
it's a night. It's like
we should have a boatload of men as compassionate and from the heart as Joe Biden is, and as honest as Joe Biden is.
And empathetic. Yeah.
Empathetic.
Yeah. Obama was empathetic. He was incredibly empathetic. I mean, the day he was standing in the White House, or in the one of the rooms of the White House, and the thing about the children in Connecticut, all those little children were slaughtered. The tears coming down.
That hit him very hard.
Well, it hit us all very hard.
I remember watching on TV, and I was just shell shocked. I couldn't believe that. You know, there we go with this crazy gun nonsense again. All this. The issue here is not your freedom to own a gun. The issue is you've got to be responsible enough to deserve to own a gun. Period. And somebody's got to make that determination. And regardless of whether people don't like it or not, that's too bad. When it becomes a public menace, the public has to stand up and outrage and demand that something good happen as a result of this crazy murdering spree that we've been undergoing for so long.
Yeah, a week doesn't go by there isn't a shootout.
God, all the time.
Yeah, well, you know, Europe thinks we're crazy that way, but then again.
And they're absolutely right.
But then
You're
again,
absolutely right.
You have to remember, too, this nationalist fever started over there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the latest. You heard about Steve Bannon castigating the Pope now because
No.
Because he's critical of Steve Bannon's crazy nationalistic populist movement. He's trying to export Trumpism over to Europe, in Italy in particular, and he's bad-mouthing the Pope. You know, this Bannon guy, he was raised a Catholic. Listen to him now.
That's grounds for
excommunication, I would say.
He's bad-mouthing the Pope in Italy.
Yep.
That won't go.
Right outside of Vatican City. You know, Richard Engel is interviewing him tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern on MSNBC. It'll be a very interesting show because Steve Bannon is a crackpot, let's face it, and his ideas are so wacko. But when you take on a guy like Pope Francis that everybody loves, there's something radically wrong with your state of mind if that's what you really believe, or if he's just doing this.
People love Franny. I mean, I like France.
Absolutely.
I do not like the Vatican. I do not like the Curia.
Well, the institution is gotten it's crazy.
Yeah. Historical.
It's too corrupting, and it's too close-minded on many things and all that stuff too. I'll agree with you there, but. You know, and here's the latest thing. I don't know if you heard this or not, but Steve Bannon has purchased a big, huge villa or something that he's going to turn into an 800-bed headquarters. It's on one of the hills around Rome that he's going to use to partially buying this to fund an effort to spread his crazy nationalist populist bullshit all throughout the world. He wants to make it a worldwide movement. He wants to have people stay there and be educated by him. This guy is nuts. He's worse than Trump is.
I got to tell you something, Jack. If he is buying such a piece of real estate and putting a facility like that in Rome itself, then he has the backdoor support of Red Hat. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He isn't that much of a billionaire himself, you know. He's got some money, but he doesn't have that much money.
He doesn't really have any what you would call money. You know, I mean, somebody who's got $1 million
He's got contacts.
Is not money. That's not money.
Some far right billionaire crackpot is funding him, or several of them are funding him on this very evil effort.
The guy's name is Mercer.
Those guys are terrible.
He put Trump in the White House.
Although they withdrew funding for the radio or TV program thing that he was running. So I thought he would dry up and fade away, but no. They've still maybe they came up with this idea for him. Who knows?
We
don't know yet. We can only speculate, but it looks pretty obvious.
They came up with a lot of ideas for him. And then, of course, this past week, we were treated to the exciting exciting departure, Assange, from Ecuador in London.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, I would have walked out on my own 2 feet and taken a shave myself, a little dignity.
Yeah.
He comes off at this point, and with what they've actually been interviewing, you know, the Ecuadorian diplomats are going to say one thing, but the people who work for the Ecuadorian embassy are talking about how crazy in a shithouse rat this guy has gotten. So.
Oh yeah, and he wore out his welcome because he's letting his cancer run rampant all over the place and making a mess everywhere, and his physical appearance was terrible. He wasn't taking care of himself physically, and probably stunk to high heaven. Who knows? But so he wore out his welcome in a hurry.
He was also posting. He hacked into the private routers there in the embassy. And he started posting on Twitter pictures of the personal pictures from the computers and files and phones of the new president of Ecuador and some of his staff and stuff, family pictures and things. and making fun of him. I mean, he sounds like he's, you know, crazier than a shithouse rat.
I think he's lost it. I think he's really lost it.
But the point is that arresting and extraditing him for what the United States would go after him is very dangerous to journalists.
Oh yeah, and you know it's not completely clear that that's exactly what's going to happen. His extradition to the United States may not occur. It looks like it may, but we just don't know at this point. We'll know in the next couple of weeks what's going to really go down, you know. But we want to get our hands on him. We want to throw him in jail for the rest of his life, and because we just don't like what he's done in the past. And it's a victory for authoritarianism, and it's a defeat for true journalism. But you know, there's some question as to how true a journalist this guy really was. You know, there's so many mysteries about the way he's done things.
No, I've checked that out, and as far back as Australia, and he is an accredited, validated investigative journalist and has been for 20-odd years. He really was.
But the behavior he's exhibited lately has kind of turned that on its ear.
That's another story. Oh, and you should see the uber liberals against the liberals snowflakes or whatever on Facebook. It's like an echo chamber of, well, I'm defriending you, buddy. I mean, I've had a couple of bye-bye sieges, and I'm like, fine, goodbye, see you, ta-ta.
Right,
You know,
yeah, I don't get involved in that brouhaha. The left should not fight the left. They should listen to each other. They should communicate with each other, not throw verbal barbs at each other.
Well,
and then they should come up with a policy and a strategy to defeat the bad people out there in the world instead of fighting among themselves. It's very self-defeating.
I'm talking about the radicalized, you know. And I have a lot of friends, and you do too, in that number. And it's like, you know, hey, look, man. You think, you know, you're going to overthrow the country, the government? What do you got to replace it with, A and B? It's never going to happen. So why don't you work within the system, you know?
Exactly.
But it's real hard when you're living on the street or you're living in a community where the oppression is so, I mean, cops killing your neighbors and people of color going through what they have been. I mean, you know, Jack, it's real tough out there.
Oh, it is. It's horrible.
We need a uniter. We really need a.
And we don't have that right now. Anywhere you look, there's very little uniting talk going on or movement for unification. There's a lot of division and divisiveness going on out there, and a lot of it is intentional. And you know, if you can get your enemies to fight amongst each other, they won't be a threat to you, and that's what Trump's trying to do.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, he's not the only one. People in politics have done this for years and years and years. They will try to create, against the opposition, they'll try to pick an argument and then help that argument. They'll fan the flames of that argument until the opposition is completely devoured and engulfed in the fire of the argument. And that's a very dangerous technique, but it's used again and again and again, and you've got to be aware of it. You can't fall into that trap.
That's quite true. It really is. I get it 100%. I get it.
Yeah.
Other than that, there's we've spoken about Mr. Assange. We've spoken about Pete Buttigieg. The other thing that I really wanted to talk about this past week is the horrifying pinned to the top of his feed tweet that the president did, this video that's going around against Representative Omar.
Oh, yeah, Well, let's face it, there you go. That just illustrates my point. He's trying to create division where none exists, and he's trying to widen gaps between people. That is not a uniter. That's not a responsible action. That's irresponsible. It's reckless, and it's horrible, and it's, you know, it's demonic, really. It really is.
Yeah, it's more than that. It's criminal.
Well, he hates Muslims. Let's face it. He uses Muslims as the bad guys all the time. You know, it's not just typical.
Muslims. It's, I mean, all the, didn't he say shithole countries?
Oh, yeah. He is such an elitist. He looks down on everybody unless they're kissing his butt. That's the way this guy is. He's nuts.
Yeah.
I just don't have the time of day for Donald Trump, and I can't wait till that son of a bitch is out of office, and I'll work so hard to get him out of there. And I wish he could be impeached. I wish we had control of the Senate and we could do it, because there's many grounds for him to be thrown out of office, because he is he's impaired the presidency. He's actually ruined it. And hopefully it won't be forever, but he's left a very bad mark on it. And this shit's got to end. We can't put up with any more of it. The rest of the world laughs at us. They've always had reservations to a certain degree on a number of things, but they're laughing at us now because Trump is such a buffoon.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely, yeah. I absolutely.
It used to be mainly the French that would kind of scoff at us and think, oh, those Americans, you know. But now it's every crazy Germans, everybody, you name it, all throughout Western Europe, our allies, are questioning this guy because he's questioning them. It's just insane. It defies logic. There is no logic to it. It's illogical. Trump's got to go.
What would be the first thing that a decent new president would do to repair the damage abroad, do you think?
Put Trump on a ocean liner and push him off the edge into the ocean. I don't know. But what he could do abroad? Well, he could reach out to them and have some conferences and visit them and reassure them that NATO is vital, and it's not something to be scorned or thrown apart or, you know, derided. It's something that's very vital to the preservation of the Western democracies. And that's one thing. He could do everything opposite of what Trump is doing, and we'd regain our stature in the world.
Well, I think rejoining the Paris
and that too.
Accord,
absolutely,
and also in joining back with the deal with Iran, the nuclear deal. There's several things that can be done, but some of them are extraordinarily tricky because. We have set policies now with, like, Israel that is
Netanyahu's a crook, too. He just got reelected. But I don't think his government's going to stay stable for long because he's too divisive, and he's a crook. He's just like Trump.
Well, he's worse than Trump. Look where he is and what he's doing. That's pretty horrible what he's done
over
there.
And, you know, they're treating the Palestinians as if they have done this for years and years and years, and it's accelerated under Netanyahu. And, you know, the Palestinians are a proud people. They should be a proud people. They have an ancient heritage that goes back as far as the Jews in Israel. And I just don't like to single out the Palestinians and just throw them out to sea and cast them off the face of the earth. I don't think that's just. I don't think it's smart. I just don't like the process any way you look at it.
It's incredible. It really is.
Defies logic. And you know, Trump was a deliberate provocateur in insisting that our embassy be recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. You know, that was a very reckless move, but it's typically reckless for Trump. But it stirs up more division and more hatred than it doesn't solve a damn thing, you know?
Well, you know, another fascinating thing happened here this last week. You know the actor Kirk Douglas?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 102 years old.
Wow. Incredible, isn't that something? And he's still living. Yeah, that's great.
He's actually taken to camping out in his backyard because he feels closer to nature that way, and he's enjoying it. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's got himself an air mattress and a green tent, and
hats off to Kirk Douglas. What an amazing guy, and the life he's led, and you know, it's when's his next movie coming out? No, his acting days are long gone, but.
You never know. I would never say.
Wouldn't
never
that be something?
Some of the faces that pop up on the screen lately, it's just incredible. You know, I saw Burt Reynolds' last movie, which was really pretty profound.
Yeah.
Playing an old, retired, forgotten, you know, action type hero,
right,
who got this funky award in a sort of a not even ever heard of film festival in Memphis, Tennessee. It was just very poignant. It was one of his best acting jobs, and that was, 2 years before he crossed? He just crossed down here.
Yeah.
That was incredible. But you just never know who's going to show up.
I know. It's just amazing, isn't it?
Uh-huh. It really is.
It's absolutely amazing.
But it's kind of neat to know that not everybody, and also the other news this weekend that's come out is about Tiger Woods winning the green jacket again.
Yeah, I was just watching that before the show started here, and he was doing pretty well. So, but he won again. Well, good for him. He's had a long and justifiably good career as a golfer. And he paved the way for a lot of people who would have never been golfers to actually engage in the sport and professionally and even on an amateur level, you know.
I agree.
He had his moment in the sun there a while back. I can't remember what the controversy was, but he stirred some feathers. But, you know, he's risen above that now, so.
Yeah. there was one other issue that came up this past week, and I posted it on Facebook, and I said, well, put up or shut the fuck up. Trump declared that he was going to send all of the migrants immigrants they're holding into sanctuary cities.
Just a way for him to get attention again, and the plan would not work. First of all, it would be challenged. It would be defeated in court immediately. And a lot of people are claiming that it's unconstitutional what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. And it's beyond that, it's very unethical. And it's just a way to target and piss off Democratic opponents. That's all. He wants to load up Nancy Pelosi's neighborhood with immigrants that can't speak English and are rapists and all this nonsense that he spouts out all the time. The guy is full of bullshit. You can't believe a damn thing he says. He does everything for attention.
I agree.
It's very immature and very reckless and very provocative and very dangerous. The guy's got to go, period.
That's true.
Now, what practical purpose would that serve to load up cities, specified cities, with immigrants, you know? It wouldn't help the immigrants. I mean, they'd be left with their arms flailing off in the wilderness, unable to do anything. It wouldn't help the communities because it would increase their burden that they have to do with the police and fire and everything else and medical associations and all that stuff. You know, it serves no useful purpose other than to be spiteful, and that's what he's very good at, being spiteful.
Yeah, it truly is. You're right.
And he wastes our time. He wastes the whole country's time, the whole world's time with this bullshit just so he can get attention. Sick, sick man.
There's a lot of stuff that goes on every week.
There is a guy that belongs in an institution.
Yeah. And did you see the House oversight meetings this week, too? The ridiculous nature of the, I forget what representative, what Republican from Kentucky was trying to grill John Kerry about climate change.
Yeah.
It was one of the stupidest moments in history. I mean, it just...
Typically
even,
stupid. Typically Republican stupid.
It just, it goes against it goes against your sense of logic that these guys can sit there. And it's like we're peopled on television with talking points from people like this who are abject liars.
Oh yeah.
For no purpose other than.
And you know, it kind of defeats their own purpose, but they're too damn stupid to realize it.
It's very true.
And there's a certain amount of little tiny amount of tag-alongs out there that'll believe this bullshit that they present, and they'll go along with them to the bitter end. And these people are derelicts. Let's face it.
It's true. Yeah. You know, Speaker Pelosi had to put in a call and make a request to the Capitol Police to come this past week to protect Representative Omar.
Yeah, that was pathetic, too. And Representative Omar was duly elected by a lot of non-Muslims who actually believed in her message and her progressive outlook. And I'm proud to say that she is from the state of Minnesota, not in my district, but regardless, I'm glad she's part of my state's congressional representation. And people just like her and many others deserve a voice. And she's finally achieved that for herself and for her her followers and for her religion, let's face it.
That's true.
Not all Muslims are rapists, murderers, and terrorists. That's a big lie. That's a big myth that Trump loves to perpetrate.
Yeah, well, and you get a lot of – the other thing that's going on here, too, is the division that the media is trying to create between the new – representation, all of the women especially who have walked into Congress on the Democratic side, and the old guard, as they say. And
well, they love spectacle and they love confrontation, and it creates headlines for them, and it creates viewers and readers, and that's irresponsible too. It's very self-serving.
Well, it's also not really accurate either.
Exactly.
And you can tell when you get, you know, when you look at the details, it's like just in like that. Within an hour of Trump tweeting that awful piece on Omar, Pelosi had called the chief of the Capitol Police and had him on the carpet saying, you know, I want a risk assessment for my representative. And
good for her.
Seriously. Yeah, well, and she got protection because the lady is getting slaughtered with death threats and violent harm.
And, you know, these are such ignorant people, and they aren't hesitant to go out and just castigate somebody and just throw barbs at them and other things, too. It's just, you know, there is a lot of hatred in this country, and we like to think we're in a post-hatred world. No way, Jose. It's not. It's still out there. It's very rampant, and we've got to do our best to keep fighting it every step of the way.
It's true. It's absolutely true. I would remind folks that this evening while we've been on the air, and I know they'll play it later on CNN, there was a town hall with candidate Marianne Williamson. Town halls are really great to watch, I think.
Was she on today, you say, or tonight?
Yeah, at 6 o'clock our time, or my time. And I know they also run them.
Repeats, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
And I believe that Marianne Williamson's Facebook page is running it at the same time on her Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook, it'll start at the beginning, and you can see it from there too. So it's worth seeing. I'm watching and reading everything I can about the different Democratic candidates that are out there. And it's our job to do that.
Absolutely. And, you know, like I said earlier, there are so doggone many of them, and you got to wade through them all. But I'll tell you what, every one of them provides a legitimate alternative to this crazy fascism we have in the Oval Office right now. And they're an alternative, a very viable, good alternative, and it provides food for thought. Study the Democratic candidates. Only one of them is going to emerge as the actual candidate. But at any rate, the primaries or the debates will start eventually here in the next few months, and I'm looking very forward to them. We'll learn a lot about what people have in mind for the country, and it's all good legislation that they're promoting and trying to put into effect. So let's vote Democratic next time, guys.
Absolutely. And one other thing, the Trump administration is attempting to auction off our coastal waters. These are the waters I grew up on as a
kid. He wants all kinds of gas out there, and you know.
Yeah, if he does that, he'll lose the Republican votes of the state of Florida. I know that.
Exactly. Yeah.
We have to do everything we can here locally. And so Florida listeners, please be aware and do what you can to bring this up on your own networks. And it's that time. We are at the end of another show. And,
wow. Well, you can read my writings at the Saturday Afternoon Post at www.jodell53.com. And I have a lot of interesting articles on a lot of different topics. A lot of it, the bulk of it, is anti-Trump and anti-conservative Republican, because they're not conservatives anymore. These guys are reactionaries. They're looking backward instead of forward, and they're not providing logistic alternatives. They're providing absolute nonsense and rubbish and divisive nonsense. So I'm opposed to that every step of the way, and you can read about it on the Saturday Afternoon Post.
Great. Okay, well, that's our show this weekend, we do thank you for listening in. And
keep pushing forward. That's all you can do is keep pushing forward.
That's right. So until next Sunday, Jack and I and Wayne, I'm sure we'll be here by then.
I hope so, yeah.
We will have a great week. And as Jack says, keep pushing forward. Please keep safe out there, people. This has been the Sunday Show with Jack Jodell, myself, Gwen Holdenberry, on Here Be Monsters Radio. And we'll see you next weekend.
We'll talk to you next weekend. Look forward to hearing from everybody. So have a great week, everybody, and just keep thinking ahead and pushing forward. That's all we can do.
Goodbye, Jack. Have a great week.
Goodbye, Gwen. Have a great week.
Okay.